You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. She is one of the nation's leading healthcare policy analysts and experts. We want to get her thoughts on a couple of major issues before the Congress in the past couple of days. Number one, the hidden healthcare agenda inside the massive economic stimulus bill. What sort of programs are being promoted, and what would their impact be? And we also want to get a reaction to Senate passage of the expansion for the state children's health insurance program. And Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Let's actually start with the latter here and SCHIP, the state children's health insurance program. Democrats want an expansion here of more than $30 billion over the next 4.5 years. President Bush vetoed this twice, saying it basically allows government coverage into the middle class here for families that could clearly afford this coverage for their kids. What do you make of what the Senate has done and what's likely to make it to the president's desk?
Well, and one of the reasons that former President Bush had vetoed the original legislation was because he did not believe that this program should be used to expand taxpayer-supported coverage in the middle-income families. But yet, this bill that has passed the House and the Senate, as you said, will allow, in some states, children and families earning as much as $100,000 or even more to be eligible for taxpayer-supported insurance. One of the senators asked if is the real intent of this legislation to replace the private health sector with a government-run health care system. And Richard Durbin, who's the senator from Illinois, responded, Democrat, that he didn't want people to trap people into private health insurance. So I think there's a real effort here to move more and more people to taxpayer-supported insurance, and frankly, to have children grow up thinking you get your health insurance for the government.
And, of course, if he believes that they're trapped into private insurance, he wants to give them a quote-unquote choice. And if it's free health care or a premium that you pay, you're going to take the free stuff.
As we've seen in a number of other places that have tried this, people will sign up in Massachusetts and Hawaii as long as somebody else is paying the premium. But there are long-term consequences, both for people's choice of the kind of physicians they want to see, for quality medical care, and ultimately for the quality of our health care system overall.
And discuss that real quickly before we get to the stimulus bill. What does this mean for doctors? What does it mean for access to care and all that sort of thing?
Well, what it means is that more and more people are going to be on a taxpayer-supported program that pays doctors at a fraction of not just what they're getting now, but of their costs. In New York, the SCHIP and the Medicaid program pay doctors about $20 an hour for their time. And that's for their time, for all their overhead, for all their staffing, whereas public for Medicare and other private health insurance plans will pay the doctor as much as $250 for their time. Basically, they're not even beginning to cover overhead. What happens, people find it's more and more difficult to find a physician who will see them. They show up in hospital emergency rooms because emergency rooms are required to treat them. They're open 24/7. If as long as you're willing to wait long enough, you'll eventually get seen. But it's hundreds of dollars more than it actually should cost. So it's hugely inefficient for our system. It impedes access to care, forces people to go into either Medicare and Medicaid mills or to hospital emergency rooms for care, and really disrupts the market for people to have choices of private physicians and relationships with their doctors.
Well, let's move on to the stimulus package now, Grace Marie. There's a lot of attention as to the health care provisions in here. There's a lot of debate, obviously, over the whole contraception inclusion into this bill. What else is in there, and what's your reaction to it?
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's hard to know where to start because so many of the major reform provisions that the Democrats and President Obama have been talking about are in this bill. They're making Medicaid, not just the SCHIP bill, but now Medicaid, a major middle-class entitlement, paying 100% of the cost to states who want to extend Medicaid coverage to unemployed workers and their families, no matter how much the families may have in income, other income and assets, as long as they're technically unemployed. It's a new employer mandate, forcing employers to pay for COBRA coverage for their workers after they leave, relatively indefinitely until their workers qualify for Medicare. Employers often have to pay half again as much just to keep somebody on these plans after they've left and no longer producing anything for the company. A new public program, the federal government would reimburse workers for part of their own tab, most of it, in fact, for keeping this covert coverage. And I think one of the things that's the scariest is really federalizing medical decisions. The bill would create a new board that would basically decide what medical treatments are necessary or not, whether or not they're cost-effective, whether they work for us or not. And the government's going to be making decisions, really basically a traffic cop for our $2.2 trillion healthcare economy. The new Secretary of Health and Human Services is going to get a $400 million slush fund just to use to do this so-called comparative effectiveness review. It sounds great, but it's bad news when the federal government is going to be telling us what medical care we can or cannot have and taking those decisions out of the hands of our doctors.
And is this the rationing that we've seen in places like Canada
absolutely.
And the U.K.?
Absolutely. In fact, the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, Chairman Obey, got in trouble when he basically said what they were going to do. They're going to use this to deny people expensive medical treatments, and it caused even his Democratic colleagues to be upset. But nonetheless, the legislation the wording has stayed in the legislation. So it is explicit rationing. If you fall outside the norms and one medication does or does not work for you, then you're out of luck because the federal government's going to say, this is okay for everybody. You fall outside that mean, it's just too bad.
Last 30 seconds, Grace Marie. If this passes, how difficult would it be to ever reverse it?
Oh, extraordinarily difficult. We already see that. Once you create a new entitlement program, it's almost impossible to roll it back, for partly because the private sector options dry up. If you wind up having the government basically give away health insurance, private companies can't survive that. They can't compete when somebody's offering something for free, and soon people don't have the options of private coverage, and they will pay a price.
Grace Marie, unfortunately, we need to stop there. Thank you so much for bringing us up to date.
Thank you, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute. This is Dateline Washington.